on every planet, in every galaxy in the known universe. We were never sure of the vehicle of how that occurred, but now I understand.
I don't, Jones muttered.
He eyeballed the baby dragons like they were rats. Dragons are special. They are vicious and dangerous, yes, but if you are lucky enough to imprint on them, they are yours for the span of their entire life. Remy read the Dragon Riders of Pern a long time ago, and this sounded a lot like that, at least the imprinting part. Most can only imprint on one dragon at a time, but you are unique, Gatekeeper. One will be your eyes, one will be your ears, and one will be your champion. They do not have any need of a gate to travel from place to place. They can... Truel stopped, struggling to find the right word. Teleport from world to world. And if you are on one of them, you will go with them. Any place they travel to, they remember and can easily return. Or, if you can remember a place clearly, the dragon can see it and take you there. Bingo! His dragons could teleport them home. Jones had the same idea from the gleam that came into his eyes. Truel grinned, and some of that cruelness slipped back into it. These dragons are much too small to take you anywhere. You must be on their backs. It will be years before they mature enough to be ridden. They want that idea. They must be starving, Truel said, and motioned to one of the guards who slid into the forest. Gavin will find them food. They eat nothing but raw meat. Once they get older, they will only eat live meat they can hunt themselves. Now, how was he supposed to feed them back home? Not like his parents were going to invest in a farm with animals bought only for slaughter. Have you named them yet? Truel asked as they resumed walking. No. It is important you name them quickly. They need to be able to distinguish between themselves when you call on them. He looked at Jones, who shrugged.
Just name them 1, 2, and 3.
Remy shook his head. Dude, don't you watch Game of Thrones? No way am I naming my dragon something like that. Something like tears shined in the Marine's eyes.
I can't watch that. Not after the Red Wedding. Don't bring it up, Rem. It's hard on the soul.
Remy blinked. Was Jones actually getting choked up over an episode of Game of Thrones? Where had AJ found this guy? As much as he wanted to snark at him, he held back. Jones was... well... he was coming to understand he was just Jones. Instead, he reached over and patted the guy on the back. It's okay, Jones. We all had issues with that one. When me and my friends watched it, we sat there in silence for a full 5 minutes. It was messed up. Jones nodded, and they continued on in silence. The dragons clung to Remy as they walked, cooing and making sounds he'd never heard before. Seeing all this... dragons, aliens, extinct dinosaurs. It was making him think maybe some of the legends on his own world weren't made up stories. Like the Greek gods. He remembered the legend of how they came to be. 3 sons, Zeus, Poseidon, and Hades, killed their father and took his power. Zeus took control of the air, Poseidon the water, and Hades the underworld. Images flashed in his head again, but it was the dragons talking to him this time. This was how they spoke. They liked those names, and each chose their own. The red dragon chose Hades, the blue dragon chose Poseidon, and the silver dragon chose Zeus. He smiled and rubbed his fingers along Zeus's soft skin. The little one cooed at him. He almost walked right into the soldier in front of him, so caught up in the dragon speaking to him. They'd come to a stop, and before them stood the gate of multicolored lights, all flickering and changing like Christmas tree lights, with a dense fog shrouding the middle area. It reminded him of a mirror more than a gate. His attention didn't stay there, though. It went right to the glowing yellow sphere and its many, many paths of lights. Everything he'd seen before came rushing back. Only this time, it didn't knock him out. His brain made sense of the equations and the twisting lines of golden light. Remy took a step toward it, but Jones caught him and yanked him back. He shook his head. The little dragons hissed at him, and Jones bared his teeth right back at them. Hades buried his head in Remy's hair, but then looked over at Jones and belched a little string of fire at him. "You're scaring them," he said, his hand stroking Hades to calm him down.
"I'm scaring them? They tried to shoot fireballs at me."
"They're babies," Remy argued.
"Babies, my foot," Jones glared at them. "They come near me, and those flying rats are done for."
Ahem. Truel cleared his throat, and Jones' face paled. He'd been vowing not to talk, and he'd been doing a lot of that. Remy guessed he figured out he was supposed to shut up, like he'd been telling Remy to do.
"I would not advise harming the creatures. It wouldn't be good for the boy."
"What do you mean?" Remy asked.
"You imprinted on them. That means you are now tied to them.
If something happens to them, then it happens to you. They are long-lived creatures, but when they imprint, their lifespan becomes that of the person they imprinted on. When you die, all three of them will. Same for you. When the last one dies, so shall you. You'll feel all that they do, and they will feel you as well. If they are injured, you will be injured. If you are injured, so shall they be."
"You had to go and tie yourself to flying rats, didn't you?"
Jones shook his head in disgust, either forgetting his no-talking rule, or just not caring when it came to this. He must have some kind of phobia when it came to them. Or maybe birds in general? They were close to birds right now. "It's okay," Remy said to the dragons. "The mean man won't hurt you."
"Come, boy. Let's show you the sphere."
This time, Jones stepped in front of Remy.
"I don't think so."
"The sphere won't hurt him now," Truel told Jones. "We gave him the serum to help him make sense of the sphere. There is no danger now."
"How do I know that's true?"
"Because I haven't passed out," Remy said, stepping around Jones. "Last time I looked at it, everything got jumbled and it knocked me out cold. Now I can look and see, really see, what's there."
"I don't know if letting you near that thing again is a good idea. Your brother will murder me if something happens to you."
"It's not going to," Remy assured him. "Come with me. If it looks like it's going to short-circuit my brain again, you can yank me back." Jones did not like it one bit, but Remy wasted no time in all but running to the sphere. Truel beat him there, his freakishly long legs eating up the ground faster than either Rem or Jones. The sphere gave off a warm heat signature. It pulsed with energy, mimicking life. The golden glow of the sphere was a deep yellow, and the lines streaming out of it sparkled a golden, glittery color. They twisted and turned, and as Remy watched, just like before, the glyphs engraved in the sphere lifted up and began to swirl within the lines. Equations sprang up, twisting and turning around the glyphs, settling into patterns.
"Put your hands on it," Truel urged.
Before Jones could even open his mouth to protest, Remy did. The baby dragon squawked and flew off him, but didn't go far. They settled in the trees. Not that he blamed them, if they were seeing what he saw. He wasn't standing in the forest anymore. He was somewhere, not a room, not outer space. It felt like a room, but there were no walls, no ceiling, no floor. Just the night sky with billions of stars. He pressed his hand tighter onto the sphere, and those golden yellow lines reached up into the stars, the glyphs running together until they started to form patterns of six. He blinked, and the equations rolled in, helping him to understand they weren't just patterns, but addresses. Every address he looked at, a planet appeared in the sky. Soon there were so many, they ran by him a million miles a minute. Not just planets, but whole galaxies of planets. There had to be billions of them. There were at least 1,000 glyphs on the sphere, some hidden within each other. He felt them as they connected in his head, each and every one of them. He could find any planet he wanted, go anywhere he wanted. He understood it all. He gasped when the stars exploded and the room opened up to one of those hologram-like boards. He reached out and touched it. The screen scattered, but formed again. He thought of his home, of Earth, and the planet appeared before him, the address written neatly above it. He could get them home. "What do you see?" Truel asked eagerly. "Everything," Remy whispered, and removed his hands. He didn't want to let Truel know he found his way home. They'd not let him near it again. As soon as they found AJ and Rambo, they were out of here. "Very good, boy." Truel slid his hands together, his lips parted, and had a look of something akin to lust in his eyes. "We will rule the galaxies with you at our side." "Yeah, no, not gonna happen." "What are these things?" he asked. "Who built them?"
"There was a great war long ago. They were built to move troops between worlds. Since then, the races have taken advantage of their use for trading and conquering."
"What war?" he asked, curious.
"You can read about the Chaos War in the great libraries we have on our homeworld. Everything you could ever possibly want to know can be found there."
Remy looked at Jones, and they both agreed silently that was never going to happen either. An arrow sliced through the air, barely missing Truel because he chose that moment to bend down to reach something in his boot. Rambo had just entered the field.
Chapter 10. AJ.
Retracing their steps back to the gateway was easier than anticipated. The trail they had left in the dense jungle wasn't difficult to follow, even as the darkness sought to obscure their previous path. The sounds the night brought with it were foreign and strange to both Marines. AJ felt a cool sweat dampen his forehead. His senses were on overdrive as every noise, every shadow, was investigated and measured for danger. "We get back to the gateway, and then pick up Jones's trail again and go find your brother, and then we need to get out of here." Rambo repeated the plan to AJ like she was reciting a mantra. "That's the deal, right?"
"That's the plan, but you know how well plans tend to go." AJ grunted with a shake of his head. He looked behind him to gauge Rambo's expression in the darkness. "How's the shoulder?"
"It sucks, but I can embrace the suck."
Rambo winked at him. "Hoorah, to the grave and all that."
"They gave you way too much of the insanity gene when you were created," AJ said with a smile. "I'm glad you're on our side."
"Me too."
Rambo pointed past AJ deeper into the jungle.
"The path's clear."
Rambo spat into the jungle, shaking her head. She removed her jacket and shirt down to a dark tank top she wore underneath. AJ had to remind himself who was in front of him.
"What are you doing? It's Rambo. This isn't the time or the place. And even if it was, it's Rambo."
AJ shook his head, forcing himself to look away and concentrate on their next steps.
"You okay?"
Rambo asked, regrouping her bow and arrows.
"You look like you have a headache or something."
"Who, me?"
"No, no, I'm fine."
AJ lied.
"You're a horrible liar."
Rambo rolled her eyes.
"No, I'm not. I'm a great liar."
"Yeah, okay. Like that one time we stumbled on the case of beer that had accidentally fallen off some transport vehicle on base." Rambo recited the story back to AJ like she was reading it from a book.
"And then we were questioned about it, and you said..."
"I was under a lot of pressure at the moment and a few beers deep, in my defense." AJ grinned, remembering how the story ended. I said we found it and didn't want something the U.S. government had paid for to go to waste. So it was our duty as good Marines to make sure it was put to use. Both Marines broke into grins, remembering the story. Despite the circumstance they were in, and despite the odds, they laughed. "Ready to roll?" AJ asked, motioning to the path they were to follow into the jungle. "Let's get it done," Rambo said, following AJ as he took the lead. "If we're walking into a trap, we should stagger our approach," AJ said, thinking about what he would do if he were lying in wait for his enemies. "We follow the path from either side. You stay behind me and cover my six." "Roger that." Rambo reached out and grabbed AJ's arm, surprising them both.
Just be careful, AJ. We'll get out of this all right, but keep your head down."
The two stood still for a moment before Rambo realized she was still holding on to AJ's arm. She released her grip and struck his right shoulder with a clenched fist.
"Come on, let's go."
AJ walked parallel to the path 4 meters to the right, while Rambo did the same thing, following on the left and a few meters behind. "What I wouldn't give right now for a pair of night vision goggles and my M14A6, AJ thought to himself as he traversed the dark jungle. "Throw in an artillery strike and something to eat? Heck, even an MRE right now, and I'd be right at home." AJ's stomach growled again, reminding him that he had missed both lunch and dinner at this point. Something to his right shifted in the shadows. There was no noise or promise of a dinosaur-like beast, just motion. AJ pivoted, aiming his alien weapon at the jungle underbrush. He paused a few more seconds, waiting for something to move. Nothing. "Don't let your overactive imagination get the best of you," AJ calmed himself as he moved on. "Anything here should be more afraid of you than you could be of it. You're a Marine. Remember your training." AJ held on to that as he delved deeper into the jungle. Minutes passed until AJ estimated they had been traveling for over an hour. The path he followed still shone out like a beacon despite the late hour. Rambo kept her pace equal to AJ's on the opposite side of the tracks they followed, pausing when he did to ensure he was safe from any enemy approaching from his rear. Finally, a break came in the overgrown landscape. AJ paused behind a tree whose branches extended overhead, dripping long vines. With one hand on his weapon and the other brushing aside the falling vines, he peered out to see what was in front of him. They had finally found their way back to the gateway. What he saw in front of him both thrilled and worried him. Rem and Jones were there in front of the gateway, and the floating golden sphere that projected the opening. A tall alien stood beside Remy, speaking to him in a language AJ didn't understand. The crazy thing was, his brother spoke back, like he in fact could understand what the creature was saying to him. Jones stood behind the two with his arms by his side. AJ could see the veins in the big man's arms bulge as if he were just barely keeping his temper in check. Behind Jones, an entire squad of aliens stood ready with their weapons in their hands. In a straight-up fight, AJ would put his Marines toe-to-toe with the entire squad of aliens. But there were too many disadvantages to do that now. Not only would he be risking his brother's life, but Jones was in the middle of the enemy as well. Rambo could let loose with her bow and take out a few, but he was too unfamiliar with his alien blaster to make accurate shots. AJ's mind raced to find an answer. Remy and Jones were only a few meters from the sphere and the gateway, but they wouldn't be able to outrun a blaster round, even if AJ was able to spring them. AJ had to blink a few times as he noticed a trio of tiny-winged lizards flying around his brother and landing on his shoulders like trained parrots. While they were there, how his brother was able to speak with the alien, and other questions would have to wait. AJ lifted his hand ever so slightly, giving Rambo the signal to slowly join him. The sniper was by his side a moment later, mimicking his own crouched stance. She peered through the vines to where the group in front of the sphere stood talking. When Remy spoke, He was still speaking in English, but the alien in front of him understood. The same was true the other way around.
I can take him from here,
Rambo breathed into AJ's ear ever so quietly.
I can take out the leader, and maybe buy them enough time to get to the gateway.
Are you sure? AJ looked at the distance between them and the lead alien again. It would have been a difficult shot for a rifle, let alone a bow. The alien was also less than a meter away from his brother.
That's far for anyone. I can make it,
Rambo whispered again, knocking an arrow in her bow.
And just give me the okay.
AJ's decision was made for him a moment later. Footsteps could be heard coming from the jungle to his right. A quick glance in that direction told him what he suspected. Four aliens were making their way toward them. They hadn't seen them yet, or else there would be weapons fire and shouting. But AJ and Rambo would be discovered any second now.
Do it.
AJ gave the order, pivoting to meet the threat coming from their right flank.
Thump!
Rambo's bowstring made a twanging sound a second later. AJ couldn't afford the time to see if her arrow had hit her target. He had already pivoted to aim at the foot soldiers coming from their right that had now seen them and were beginning to shout. AJ couldn't understand what they were saying, but the aggression in their voices and the way they lifted their weapons in their direction was enough to tell there would be few words exchanged between the two parties. Chaos ripped through the jungle half a heartbeat later.
Blap, 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 blap!
AJ took one of the approaching aliens in the chest and another in the head as they came at him from their right. Behind him, he could hear Rambo letting loose with her arrows into the unit at the gateway, but he couldn't take his eyes off the last two soldiers still firing at him.
Let's go!
Rambo tapped AJ on the shoulder. Remy and Jones are making a run for it! Finally, AJ tore his gaze from the soldiers on his right and moved to follow Rambo to the gateway. The blood in his veins pumped as fast as his heart could send it to his limbs. Adrenaline rushed to every point of his body as he crashed through the jungle alongside Rambo. He took in the events in front of him, realizing then the chance of their escape was slim at best. Rambo, to AJ's surprise, had missed the lead alien who was speaking with Remy at the sphere. She had, however, succeeded in taking down the two closest to Jones. One lay on the ground with an arrow sticking out of his eye, the other with a shaft protruding from his throat. Remy and Jones were sprinting for the gateway amidst a shower of enemy fire. This was exactly what AJ had not wanted, but the soldier flanking his position left them no choice. Remy caught sight of his brother, who looked like he was about to say something to him.
"Just run!"
AJ shouted, as an enemy bolt flashed past his face. Another scorched the ground next to him. They were meters from the fog-filled gateway, changing in a variety of colors when the entire gate disappeared. One second, they were about to rush through the archway and back to Earth, and the next, there was nothing in front of them but more jungle. AJ's heart fell on his chest. An alien voice screamed something over the sound of the weapons fire. Immediately, the weapons stopped blaring.
"It was a good try," Jones said,
as the three Marines and Rem came to a standstill.
"Give me the word, and we can still try to make a run for it."
AJ turned to see the lead alien who had been speaking with Rem moments ago standing in front of them. A line of no less than 20 enemy soldiers trained their weapons on the group. If they did try to run, AJ had no doubt at least two of them would be cut down. He wasn't willing to chance that, not with his Marines or his brother. "He's telling us to surrender, or he'll open fire," Remy said, translating the words for his older brother. "He says if we surrender, he won't hurt us. I believe him." "We're going to have a conversation on how you're understanding what he's saying," AJ said to his little brother. He dropped his weapon on the dirt floor, giving Rambo a nod to do the same. "But all right, it's not like we have much choice anyway." Chapter 11. Remy. He sighed heavily as they made their way back to the camp. Home had been right there. He was just steps away from it, and the archway collapsed right in front of them. He hadn't even stopped to think that Truel would shut down the sphere. AJ walked beside him, while Rambo and Jones fell into step behind them. It was the most silent walk of his life. Truell looked pissed Remy had run. The guy thought Rem was some sort of second coming when it came to the sphere. And maybe he was. But he didn't want to go to some alien world. He just wanted to go home. Home, where things were normal. He was in a lot of trouble on Earth, but that beat dealing with aliens, dinosaurs, and being terrified they'd kill them any minute. His dragons flew down and perched on him as he walked, and this feeling of relief settled in him. They cooed into his ear, and he felt a calmness he hadn't since the sphere. He chuckled at the irony of it. Here he was, screaming inside about dinosaurs, and baby dragons calmed him. Dragons that would grow to be 3 times the size of the dinosaurs. He felt AJ's eyes on him, but his brother didn't say a word. He'd clammed up the minute he'd been taken, as had Rambo. They seemed to be better at it than Jones, who was still muttering about flying rats. Once they arrived back in camp, they were not put back into the jail cell as Remy expected. Instead, they were taken to one of the campfires and told to sit. Armed guards remained, but Truell walked away. Remy wasn't sure what was going on, but at least they weren't locked up. He hated the feeling of being trapped, and that was what that holding cell felt to him. A bowl of raw meat was given to him a few minutes later, with a gesture toward the tiny dragons. Remy took a piece out of the bowl and held it up to Zeus, who gobbled it down with a burp of smoke. He laughed at the sound the little dragon made. They made quick work of the food, and then settled down to sleep. 2 in his lap, 1 curled around his neck. "Want to explain that?" AJ asked, his eye on the guards. "They're mine," Remy stroked Hades' soft, leathery skin. "I'm not giving them up." "Rem, don't Rem me," he interrupted his brother. "They'll die without me. I'm not leaving them."
"He's right," Jones interjected. "The little rats will die without him. And if that happens, Rem dies too."
"What?" AJ snapped his eyes to Jones. "Explain." Jones told him everything Truell had explained about the dragons, which led to the whole natural gatekeeper discussion. AJ sat there for a long time, and Remy got nervous. His brother only got this quiet when he was angry. "I swear to God, Rem, can't you not go anywhere without trouble finding you?" AJ finally looked at him, and Remy flinched at the anger burning in his brother's eyes. "Why can't you just listen? If you hadn't wandered off this morning, none of this would be happening. You need to learn to follow orders like a good soldier." "But I'm not a soldier." Remy's own anger started to surface, surprising him. "I'm not one of your Marines. I'm your brother. I'm supposed to be home playing video games and hanging out with my friends, not sitting on an alien world scared half out of my mind. I'm not you, AJ." Rambo placed a hand on AJ's arm. "He's just a kid, AJ. He's not one of us. He's not trained for this like we are."
"None of us are trained for this," Jones said, sweeping his arm outward across the landscape. Remy slouched down, feeling like a loser. AJ was right, and that only upset him more. He was always getting into trouble because he couldn't listen, always defiant. "Don't worry, kid." Jones wrapped an arm around him, careful to stay away from the dragons. "I got your back. Your brother is angry because he's worried, especially about you. Ain't that right, CO?" AJ's nostrils flared, but some of the anger went out of him. "I'm sorry, Rem. This isn't your fault. I just don't know how to get us out of this mess. We're outmanned, outgunned, with no options for escape I can see." Rem wanted to tell him he did have a way out, but he looked around and saw the guards listening intently. He didn't have to be a soldier to know they'd report back to Truell on everything they said.
So he used sign language to tell his brother he could get them home. Their cousin was deaf, and they'd learned how to sign so he wouldn't feel so out of place at family gatherings. The guards looked confused when he started signing with his hands. Good. He'd been half afraid that language serum they'd given him could also translate this, but it didn't look like it. You know the address to get us home? He signed back. Remy nodded. Yes. All we have to do is get back to the sphere. I can turn it on and engage the right code. It's easy. For the first time since he showed up, AJ smiled, and Remy's shoulders relaxed. Maybe his brother wouldn't think he was such a screw-up if he could pull off getting them home. Neither Jones nor Rambo looked like they understood a word, but they both knew what that smile meant. They both settled back, content to wait until they were filled in. Remy knew AJ was the leader of their squad, and what he said went, but he was curious as to why they didn't question his brother about the plan. They simply accepted AJ would lead them to victory. It was why Remy would never make a good soldier. He questioned everything. When Rambo leaned over his brother and took his hand, it startled him enough to jostle Zeus and Poseidon sleeping in his lap. The two little dragons squawked out an angry snort before settling back to sleep. Ram, you're part of our squad while we're here. That means we'll protect you with our lives. You're family to us. We got you. Don't worry about anything. We'll have you back playing video games and hanging out with friends before long. Yeah? Remy nodded, swallowing past the lump in his throat. It meant a lot to him that both Jones and Rambo assured him they'd have his back. Not a lot of people did these days, not even his friends, who denied having anything to do with changing the red lights back home, blaming it all on him because he was the one with the skills to do it. None of them were arrested. Only him. His brother hauled him close and kissed the top of his head. Rambo's right, Ram. You'll always be a part of my squad. I love you, kid. No matter what you do, you're always going to be my brother. I'll always have your back no matter how mad I get. You know that, right? Again, he could only nod, not trusting his voice. His brother's declaration meant everything to him. AJ was the golden boy in their family, and Remy was the screw-up. Hearing his brother say that, it caused something in his chest to loosen. It gave him hope that one day he could make AJ proud of him. Truel picked that moment to step back into the firelight. He stared down at the four of them with empty eyes. Before anyone could do or say a word, AJ and Rambo were pushed to their knees by the soldiers behind them, and then held perfectly still while Truel injected them both with what Remy assumed was the language serum. They were released, and both leaned over, heaving while the pain went away. Rem knew how much it hurt, so he stayed silent while the pain ebbed. Truel gestured, and more food was brought to them. The aroma was delicious, and the bread looked harmless enough. The food is safe. If I wanted you dead or drugged, I would have done it already. I do not wish to harm the gatekeeper or his protectors. It wouldn't be in my best interest to do so. Remy picked up the bowl in front of him, and AJ tried to knock it out of his hand, but he held on. He was starving, and he'd bet good money that what Truel said was true. He didn't want them harmed, and Rem hadn't eaten since yesterday. There were no utensils, so he drank straight from the bowl. The rich, hearty stew burst across his tongue in the most divine flavor. It was like nothing he'd ever tasted before, but he slurped it down greedily, stopping only to shove the bread in his mouth. Truel laughed, and metal cups full of water were given to them. Something else Remy drank down like he'd been lost on a deserted island for months with no fresh water. It's safe, Remy said, once he'd let out a loud belch. And delicious. AJ's glare was hot enough to scorch the hair right off his head. Truel took a seat across from them.
Tell me, boy, are there more like you on your planet?
Like me? Remy asked.
More who can see the lines of the sphere, Truel clarified.
I didn't even know I could do that. I have no idea if anyone else could.
We may need to test all the survivors, then.
Survivors?
What was he talking about?
Truel smiled. When we invade your planet, there will be survivors left. They'll be tested to see if they possess the same gift as you. We always leave some of the planet's populace alive. We need slaves to work the planet for us.
Invade the planet?
Slaves? These words bounced around in Remy's head like a bullet ricocheting inside his skull. These beings were going to invade Earth? The Marines beside him tensed, catching Truel's notice.
Are all the soldiers on your planet as adept as you?
Not one sound left the Marines.
We underestimated you, Truel continued, ignoring their lack of response. It's a mistake we won't make again. Once we return home, we'll give our report and make sure our people know they will have to bring out our entire arsenal. We won't underestimate you again.
Remy kept quiet, not knowing how to respond.
I'd advise you to rest. There is much to be done tomorrow. We must collect more slaves here on the planet. Once we've acquired our quota, we'll leave for our home world of Sarka.
The alien leader jumped gracefully to his feet.
As long as you cause no trouble, you'll remain free under the guidance of your armed guard. They're here to keep you safe as much as to keep you from trying to run again. I will take my leave now, and we'll speak more tomorrow.
Remy watched him walk away, his own shell-shocked expression mirrored on the faces of the Marines beside him.
Now what were they supposed to do? They had to get free. They had to warn the people on Earth.
But how? It was a question he wasn't prepared to answer. He only hoped the military minds beside him had some idea of how to get him to the sphere so they could get home and warn everyone.
Chapter 12. AJ.
AJ's thought process turned militant, and it began running scenarios for any escape option he could think of. As he, his brother, and his squad members sat around the crackling fire, those options were weighed against the chances of actual success, and each one discarded. In the middle of the enemy camp, no weapons, and under heavy guard. AJ thought to himself as he sat in front of the fire. Enemy strength is still unknown. These guys just keep popping up out of nowhere. AJ was a fighter who never gave up. Those were two qualities that made him not just a good Marine, but a great one. As much as AJ would rather jump the closest alien soldier and lay into him, he knew his chances of them escaping at the moment were non-existent. Sure, they might be able to surprise the four guards watching them from each corner of their fire. Maybe they might even fight their way out of the camp, but the likelihood of all that happening without losing one of their own was impossible. Sometimes sacrifices had to be made, and if the time came, AJ would sacrifice himself first. There was no question in his mind. This, however, did not have to be the moment to force such a decision. Between the fire, the stars overhead, and the moons, there was enough light for AJ to see their four guards surrounding them just inside the firelight, and not much of the enemy encampment past that. The best he could make out were large steel cages that appeared to be empty, and structures that looked like thin plastic tents set up past them. The rest of the enemy camp was lost in darkness and shadows. The wind died down during the night, but an unexpected chill seeped into the air, chilling them all. AJ wasn't sure what time it was, but it had been dark for a long time now. He wasn't sure how night and day worked on this planet, but he guessed if they were back on Earth, It would be the very early hours of the morning by now. His itchy eyes and slow thought process told him as much. "We'll play it like Scenario B in training," AJ whispered to Jones and Rambo. Even if the enemy could hear his voice, they would have no idea that Scenario B was a lie-in-wait training mission designed to teach the Marines patience in the face of an enemy force.
"Ura?" "Ura that," Jones agreed.
"Ura,"
Rambo echoed.
Rem looked at him with large eyes and a slight shrug. The motion almost toppled the baby dragon sleeping on his shoulders.
"Freaking dragons."
AJ leaned in close to his brother and whispered into his ear, "Lay low tonight. We'll get out of here once we can assess their strength."
"Hey," one of the guards roared, "no whispering, earth meat."
"Earth meat?" AJ pivoted to take in the hulking alien who had yelled at him. "Thank you. I'll take that as a compliment." The soldier growled, unsure how to respond to his captive thanking him for anything.
"Let's get some rest," Jones said with a yawn, like he was some kid at his favorite summer camp.
He stretched his massive arms to either side of his body.
"I'm exhausted."
"Me too. But if Remy's not feeling like death in a handbasket after eating, I'm gonna grub down on some of this food." Rambo looked over to AJ for consensus. AJ grabbed the bowl that had been provided for him with a nod for Rambo to continue. It went against everything he believed to accept food at gunpoint. But if these were the calories that were going to fuel his escape tomorrow, he'd make them do. Remy wasn't wrong. As soon as the meat hit his lips, AJ understood why his brother had been so eager to get as much of the stuff down his throat as possible. The meat tasted like tender steak spiced with garlic and onions. The bread was soft, and the water might as well have been straight from the glaciers. AJ didn't realize he was so hungry until his food was gone. A loud belch came from Jones. One of the dragons on Remy's lap shifted and opened an eye to look at the large Marine. If baby dragons could raise an eyebrow, this one did.
"Don't judge me," Jones scoffed at the dragon. "I have a sensitive palate."
The dragon then proceeded to roll an eye and go back to sleep. "All things considered, this isn't too bad, yeah?" Remy said in a voice that sounded like he didn't believe his own words. "We'll be all right."
"We will," AJ agreed with his little brother. "We're gonna be all right."
Sleep came for AJ quicker than he anticipated. The slight chill in the air, the warm fire, and the soft earth underneath them was more than he needed to drift into nightmares.
"Look! Look what I made at school, AJ!"
AJ looked over as Rem ran across their front lawn towards him. He had his black and white Converses on, along with a button-up checkered shirt and jeans. He was small for 7. His legs pumped like pistons under his body as he ran to his brother. In his right hand, he held a piece of paper with a drawing. Rem shoved it at his older brother as he came to a breathless stop in front of him.
"Here, here, look," Rem said,
handing his paper to AJ while he waved it like a flag.
"Look."
"Okay, okay," AJ grinned down at his little brother. "Hold it still for a second so I can." AJ accepted the piece of binder-ruled notebook paper. On the sheet was a crayoned picture of himself. He was wearing his high school football uniform in the picture, with his jersey number on it, 11. The red jersey with the yellow lettering and pants were unmistakable. AJ smiled at his little brother and returned the paper. "It looks great," AJ said with a smile. "Was it for school?"
"Yeah."
Remy beamed a huge smile as he accepted the paper back from his older brother.
"We drew who we wanted to be when we grew up."
AJ had a hard time understanding what his brother was saying. His mind registered the words, but his heart was telling him how big of a moment this was for him. AJ and Remy had always been close, but even at AJ's youthful age, he understood this was a special memory he would have for the rest of his life.
That's great, Rem.
AJ went down to a knee to look his brother in the eyes. "But you can be whatever you want."
"I don't want to be whatever I want,"
Rem corrected his brother. I want to be you.
You can be better than me, kid,
AJ said, ruffling his brother's hair. Don't ever repeat this, and if you tell anyone I said this, I'll deny it. But you're way smarter than I am. You can be whoever and whatever you want if you work hard and never give up.
Rem nodded and smiled again. He carefully folded his paper and unslung his backpack to place it inside and then put it back on.
Something struck AJ as funny. He stood up to get a better look at their surroundings. They were standing in the front yard of their two-story white house. The neighborhood they grew up in was just like he remembered. Nothing fancy, but nice single-family homes. A bright blue sky overhead was comforting in its familiarity. Then AJ understood why the moment felt so disconcerting. There was a complete lack of noise. There were no cars in the street, no birds chirping in the air, not even fellow neighbors walking down the sidewalk to or from their homes. A dark feeling grew in the pit of AJ's stomach as he realized something was very wrong. The feeling of being watched covered him like a physical blanket. His mouth went dry.
"Rem, maybe we should go inside," AJ said, placing a protective hand on his brother's shoulder. "Come on."
"Okay,"
Remy said, oblivious to the eerie danger.
"Do you think Mom and Dad will be home yet? I want to show them my picture and tell them you said I'm smarter than you."
"Yeah, they might be." AJ scanned the sidewalk up and down. Still not a soul. It was like everyone had decided to leave the city overnight.
"Come on."
AJ hurried across their front lawn with his brother in tow. The feeling of being watched only grew. "Calm down, you don't need to freak out. Calm down, it's gonna be fine," AJ coached himself. "You're overreacting." AJ knew he wasn't overreacting at all as he and his brother reached the front porch of their home. Three steps led to a small porch area. Where the door should have been was a small archway that was so full of mist it was impossible to see anything on the other side.
"AJ, what's going on?"
Remy's small voice sounded even smaller in the moment.
"Where's the door?"
AJ wanted to tell his brother everything was going to be okay, but fear held his tongue prisoner. Thick billows of fog, so dense they looked like smoke, rolled from the archway. The border of the entryway shimmered with gold alien runes AJ didn't understand.
"I'm scared, AJ."
Rem latched onto his older brother's hand. "It'll be fine." AJ held his little brother's hand tighter. "I'm not gonna let anything happen to you, I promise." Something moved just beneath the surface of the thick fog inside the shining gateway. A cold sweat came over AJ as dark lights flickered off and on in the gateway. AJ wanted to run, but where would they go? This was their home. How could you abandon your home to someone else just because you were afraid? Figures jumped out of the gateway, sending AJ and Rem reeling backward. Grotesque alien creatures with grayish skin, different colored hair, and metal masks over their mouths reached for them. AJ felt cold, slender fingers grab at his arms and chest. His heart rate spiked as adrenaline and the fight-or-flight question screamed to be answered. Remy was yelling beside him as the monster grabbed onto him and began to drag him back through the doorway.
"No, no, leave me alone," Rem cried. "AJ, AJ, help me."
Something woke inside of AJ, something that refused to give in to fear. AJ hammered at the hands, trying to hold him with closed fists as he waded to his brother's side. He grabbed onto the younger Cole's backpack he still wore and pulled. Words were a luxury, as AJ used all his oxygen to fend off the monsters and pull his brother free. His sneakers fought to find traction on the porch. For a moment, it seemed as though they would both be pulled into the doorway. AJ woke with a jolt back on the alien planet beside his brother, Jones, and Rambo. The fire had died down to embers, and the morning light just touched the horizon. It was just a dream, AJ reassured himself, as he rolled over on his right side to look at his brother. Chest still rising and falling from his nightmare, AJ reminded himself again, as he had in the dream, that he wouldn't let anything happen to his brother or his squad. Chapter 13 Remy. With the morning came the knowledge they were all still prisoners of an alien force who were not as friendly as they pretended to be. That little fact rang like the loudest warning bell in Remy's head. These monsters wanted to believe he was their second coming or something, their prophesized key to winning the known universe. Luke Skywalker, he was not. Remy opened his eyes, and the first thing he noticed was that their guards had changed out some time while he slept. These guys were slimmer, but the vibe they gave off was more dangerous than the Hulks from last night. They were immobile, seemingly bored, but Remy knew that look. His brother adopted it most days. It hid the fact that they were constantly scanning the environment, looking for things out of place, or any sign of danger. It kept Marines alive. So why wouldn't soldiers from other planets use the same tactics? The bright green mohawks all three sported were tied up high on their head, the hair blowing in the morning breeze. The rest of their scalps were covered in tribal tattoos that looked wicked cool. It only heightened their dangerous vibe. These three were not to be messed with. He saw his brother, Jones, and Rambo talking quietly amongst themselves a few feet away. Of course he'd be the last one to wake. He could sleep through about anything. His dragons played by the now smoldering ashes of the campfire. They'd even beaten him out of bed. Sighing, he sat up and rubbed his still sore eyes. He could probably go back to sleep, truth be told, but that wasn't happening. His dragons flew to him the second he sat up, crawling all over him, and Zeus made it to the top of his head first, crowing like the god he was named for. Remy laughed at his antics. They were adorable. Rem, AJ came over and dropped down beside him. You good? Why wouldn't he be? Yeah? The relief on his brother's face was palpable. Thank God. What's wrong? It's past noon here, and you wouldn't wake up. What? Remy looked up at the sun and noticed its position in the sky. While it was a little off from Earth, it was evident morning had bled into early afternoon. That's weird.
You're telling me, kid.
Jones sat down on his other side and slung an arm around him.
I thought we'd lost you, and I'd have to take care of the flying rats.
The dragons turned their heads as one and stared Jones down. The man removed his arm and scooted far, far away.
See, those rats don't even like me. How am I expected to take care of them with that attitude?
Knock it off, Jones. Rambo frowned down at them. Those beauties will eat you if you're not careful.
Bah!
Jones threw his head back and laughed.
They're a mighty scrawny yet to be thinking of eating an ox like me.
The dragons burped, and flame flew straight at Jones, who yelped and dived for the ground. They all burst out laughing, and even the guards' lips tilted in amusement. Jones gave them the stink eye, but scooted out of range of the dragons.
Seriously, though, are you okay, Rem?
AJ asked. I've been trying to shake you awake for hours. I was starting to think they'd laced your food last night. I'm good, Remy told his brother. Just a little thirsty, and I need to go find a private bush to take care of business.
Use the tree line.
Remy whipped his head around at the sound of one of the guards. The middle one pointed toward the right.
Gorgia will go with you.
The guard let out a sharp whistle, and the metal dog from yesterday trotted toward them.
He will guard you.
And keep me from running, Remy said with just a hint of sarcasm.
And that, the guard agreed.
Humans tend to think running is an option, even when doing so causes more harm than good.
Kidnap humans a lot, do you?
Remy snarled, unable to help himself. His 16-year-old brain was hardwired to rebel against authority, despite the danger of the situation. "Enough," the guard said, and dismissed him. He waved toward the woods. "Now get moving, boy. We are due to leave soon."
"Leave?" AJ asked. "Where are we going?"
"Home." The guard said nothing else, and Remy hurried to take his bathroom opportunity and get back to the group. AJ's face looked blank, but he knew his brother. He had to be running every escape scenario he could think of, but without the sphere, there was no escape route. The Marine and his brother would refuse to give up. But it was what it was. They were trapped and prisoners of the aliens until they could get their hands on that sphere. He was quick, and the dog patiently waited for him. Remy wondered if the dog worked off a program, or was his own canine brain intact. If it was programming, he could potentially rewire the dog to their side. He seemed to like Remy as it was, but if he could get the dog to just obey him and the others, it stood to reason their escape plans might get a boost in survivability, given the fact that they managed to get their hands back on the sphere. And that was a big if.
"If we go, then how are we supposed to get home?"
Rambo was whispering when Remy joined them.
"You're all forgetting one big thing."
Remy winced when Zeus landed in his hair and grabbed on so he wouldn't fall.
"We don't have the sphere. Can't go anywhere without it."
"We know that, Rem,"
AJ said, "but we also know that if we go with them, getting our hands on it will be harder than ever."
"So what? You're planning on trying to steal the sphere before we leave?"
Remy asked.
"Somehow, I don't see that working. I know you guys are the experts and all that, but I look at things a little differently in much simpler terms. We don't have the manpower or the weapons. That sphere is guarded by those guys."
Remy jerked his thumb in the direction of the guards.
"And they've got a couple of those mechanical dogs, too. How are we going to get through their defenses weaponless?"
Jones shook his head in disgust.
"Nancy Naysayer."
"Nancy who?
What the heck was he talking about?" "He's not going to get the reference, Jones," AJ laughed. "He's not from our generation. What the big lug means is that you're bringing him down. He's trying to plan and find the positive, while you are finding all the negative."
"Not getting killed sounds like a positive to me,"
Remy replied.
"Be that as it may,"
Rambo cut Jones off before he could spew some of his nonsense,
"we can't just give up."
"I'm not giving up," Remy retorted.
"I'm being smart. We don't have a snowball's chance of winning if we try to take that thing by force, and you all know it. Your soldier brains just don't want to admit it. That would be too much like defeat."
All three of the Marines glowered down at him.
"I'm a hacker. I find back doors and utilize stealth. I'm smart about my attacks. We need to be smart. We can't win if we're dead. If you three try to steal that sphere, they'll kill you. You know they will."
None of them answered him, because they knew he was right.
"What we need to do is wait. We make a plan, and we find the back door. While we work to accomplish that, it gives us a chance to gather intel on these guys and find out more about their world and their capabilities."
AJ said nothing for a long moment, but then he nodded. "When did you get so smart, kid?"
"You told me I was smart a long time ago, AJ."
Remy smiled at his brother.
"And I read a lot of space adventures."
"You do?"
Jones asked, his face growing excited.
"You ever read?"
"Now is not the time, Jones," Rambo cut him off again.
"If you get started on your space operas, we'll never get anything else done today."
Jones gave her a pouty face, but he said nothing else. His look of petulance was hilarious, and Remy fought not to laugh. He had a feeling laughing would hurt Jones's feelings more than anything else. As much as he irritated Remy, he wouldn't cause him any unnecessary pain. He was growing fond of him, and the more time he spent with Jones, the more he understood Jones was special. He was weird, but a good weird.
We'll dish about books later, Jones, but Rambo's right. We need to focus on the here and now first, Remy told the big Marine. Jones's face split to a grin worthy of a 6-year-old getting his first real bike at Christmas.